You are listening to a Banzai Retro Club podcast. Language and topics may not always be appropriate for younger listeners. Press 1 for a groovy topic from the 1970s. Press 2 for an awesome topic from the 1980s. Or press 3 for a slamming topic from the 1990s. Please choose now. Too late. We have made your selection for you. Let's start the show.
Hello?
Yo.
Yeah, I have to call you.
Okay.
Did it record?
It totally recorded.
Okay, did the sound mediocre?
It sounded good.
Because that's what we're striving for on Banzai Retro Club these days, is mediocre. Oh, God. What the hell was going on, Dave?
It's all kinds of technical issues. What the hell?
We've been troubleshooting for nearly an hour.
Yes.
But don't tell our fans.
No.
Or
no.
Followers.
They don't need to know.
Yeah. So, no. Anything. Alrighty.
Oh, right. What is that background?
Oh, I have Wonka in the background. The tunnel scene. While I was waiting for you, I was going to try to watch some, because I have not had time to do any research. So.
All right.
Anyway,
you know what?
Yeah.
You know, fuck this.
What?
Let's go. Let's just do it.
Go.
We're going to get started. Yeah.
Go. Do it.
All right.
Jump
I'm ready.
In.
I'm jumping. We've been troubleshooting for an hour, and I'm just like, you know, screw it. We're getting started.
This is 70-something podcast.
Evel Knievel sold separately or with the Evel Knievel stunt cycle from Ideal.
Use the force, Luke. Let go.
HR Pop and Stuff. Push your bed when things get rough. HR Pop and Stuff. Can't do a little cause you can't do enough.
Yeah, this is Banzai Retro Club. I am Dave. Online, I've got Scott.
I am Scott.
You are Scott.
I am.
And, yeah, and Scott, you contacted me today, and you're like, you know, what the hell are we going to do? What are we talking about? And you're in the same wavelength as I am, where we're like, you know what? It needs to be a 1970s topic. And the last time we talked, I was like, I was trying to think, and I was like, yes, we need to go 1970s. And I remember looking through just to take a cursory look at movies. And I was like, you know, we really need a 1970s topic. And I remember looking through the 1970s movies. And as soon as I came across this one, I thought, you know, that's perfect. And then I forgot about it. So it has been like a week at least. And then you were like, you know, we need to go 1970s. And I'm like, yes, that's right, 1970s. And then I Googled it again, and I looked up 1970s movies. And then all of a sudden I came across this gem again, being Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory 1971. And I was like, let's talk about that. And you were right on board with that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what? Something just popped in my brain before we go too far into Willy Wonka. Last time we talked, you brought up this mixtape thing. Are we supposed to answer that on our non-mixtape episodes?
You know, I was thinking about doing it for every episode that we talk about, just because it's kind of fun to talk about. But I don't have the cards in front of me right now. I could go back inside. I'm actually out by my pool.
Okay.
Because I needed a break from the inside.
Okay.
It's a beautiful night out. it's, I wish I could really, truly describe it. Maybe I'll send you a picture, Dave. But I'm in the dark. I'm by my pool. I can hear crickets in the background. Can you?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
So through my headphones, I can actually still hear the crickets. So wow. it's wonderful out here. I love it out here. It's a beautiful night. So I'm just going to sit out here and record instead of my usual setting of being in my wife's office.
So. Okay. All right. Well, then let's be that way.
So anyway.
So we're talking 1970s movie, and Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is something that I can really relate to, and I really enjoyed as a kid. I remember, even well beyond a kid, I remember introducing this to my kids. I love this version of this movie, and I say this version of this movie because I know that Tim Burton did his own take on it. Really bizarre and wacky version of it. But the original version with Gene Wilder was even, it even had its own sensibilities of being really wacky and crazy. And so there's some pretty bizarre stuff that was happening in this movie for 1971. But I've always loved it. I've always loved how crazy, beautiful this movie was. And to me, a lot of it was very similar to, I want to say, Wizard of Oz.
Where, oh, wow. Good comparison, dude.
Yeah. And to me, where I'm like, you know, there's, you have a part of the movie that is like the setup for what's going to happen after, you know, after a certain time frame. And Dorothy gets to Oz, and all of a sudden she's dealing with the Munchkins, and everything's in color, everything is beautiful, and that's, to me, when the movie really takes off. I've got the same kind of relationship with Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, where once they get to the chocolate factory, to me, that's really when the movie is fun. Because before that, it's not so much fun.
So get this. Well, I've never thought about it this way, and you really opened my eyes to an option for this movie.
Okay.
So I listened to a podcast called Screen Fix, where they go in and they watch a movie and they say how they could fix it, like they would make it better, right?
Right.
And you just totally opened up my eyes to a way that this movie could have been done better. And don't get me wrong, I've loved this movie for many years. I've watched it since I was a child. But the way you just said that, it's this very similar feeling to Wizard of Oz. They could have shot the whole opening of this movie in black and white. And as soon as they open up where the kids all walk into that first room of candy, of all the stuff, you know, with the chocolate river and all that stuff, they could have gone from black and white into color in that scene, and it would have been just as spectacular as the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, you're right, because that's when Gene Wilder is singing Pure Imagination.
Yes.
And that would have been a perfect intro to color version.
Wow. That's pretty wild, dude. I've never thought about it that way. But it totally could have been done that way. It would have been really, really cool.
I mean, before they get to the chocolate factory, it was kind of...
It's dark. No, it's dark, dude. It's depression. These people these people are living in rough times. Look at there were four freaking grandparents sleeping in one bed that were decrepit, that could not get out of bed.
Right. I mean, you have all that, but you also had all these kids finding these golden tickets, and each one of them were kind of, I don't know, just, how do you put it? Yeah, I don't even know how to phrase it, but they had their vices, you know, and it showcased them with their vices. You know, you had the kid that was always eating all the time. What was his name? What was the kid's name?
Augustus Klump.
Yeah, Augustus. Mm-hmm. You know, always eating and completely overweight.
Augustus.
Mm-hmm. And you had Veruca, who is the brat.
Veruca Salt.
Yes, yes. Veruca, and you had Violet, who actually the actress that played Violet just passed away not too recently.
Oh, really?
So so that is pretty sad. But yeah, so she had kind of this annoying thing where she's always chewing bubble gum.
Mm-hmm.
Mike TV having an addiction to TV.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of, they had their vices and they showcased that. And obviously, I think as we go further into this conversation, we're going to run into, you know, how each one of those guys had met their own demise, if you will, throughout the Chocolate Factory. And it was bizarre in the fact that, you know, it was like, you know, to me, if I'm watching it now, I want to fast forward past all that crap and just get to the Chocolate Factory. I want to get to the scene where Willy Wonka is walking down the the steps, and all of a sudden he does this flip.
Yeah, because his cane gets stuck in the pavers.
Right, right. That's the scene where I want to pick it up on. That's exactly, from that point on, that's when the movie is great to me.
That's when it gets fun.
Yeah. So is there anything pre that point that you like?
No, I don't get that. So Charlie's grandpa.
Grandpa Joe.
Yeah, Grandpa Joe is apparently bedridden until the golden ticket just appears.
Right.
And then he can get out of bed and go on a several hour tour at a candy factory. It's a little funny, a little odd that,
right.
You know, first of all, it's weird that four people are sharing a bed.
That is kind of bizarre.
Yeah. But overall, I think you're right. I think the true fun really starts when Wonka, Gene Wilder, which was, I'm sorry, 1,000 times better than Johnny Depp. Gene Wilder was very special in this role as Willy Wonka, and I think it's probably my favorite role that he ever did, because he was Willy, he was Willy Wonka. And maybe it was because I saw it so early in my childhood, before I saw Young Frankenstein or Stir Crazy or any of those other movies that Gene Wilder was in. But that one really just nailed it for me. He was perfect for that role. He was a little wacky and his crazy hair, and he just nailed it. So anyway, from that point, like you said, that's when the fun starts.
Yeah, I would argue about Blazing Saddles, but...
Ooh, yeah, that's a pretty good one, too. But, come on.
But.
It's Willy Wonka. Now, you were a little bit younger.
Yes.
So I was catching this when it was... When was this? 71?
71, yes.
Yeah, this was even out before I was even watching TV. I was only 3 years old at 71. But maybe it was just a little bit more of a childhood impact than it was for you.
Yeah, because I would have been all of 10, and this was the perfect age for this movie.
No, you weren't 10 when this came out. 71?
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Wow. My God. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, Dave, have a little bit more bourbon, why don't you? Yeah. Yeah, it would have been not even one. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I take that back. There is one scene that I do like pre them getting to the Chocolate Factory,
okay.
And that was the Candyman. Oh. So when they're all singing, when he's singing to the kids about how Wonka is, you know, the Candyman, and you know, you shouldn't ask how, why he does what he does. It's just in his nature. And so to me, I always thought that was a fun sequence, and you know, just, you know, this guy sharing candy with all the masses of kids. And yeah, the great song that you know, comes about it, you know, during the sequence. So I always loved that part.
So I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know who originally did the Candyman, but the song. But I do know that Sammy Davis did it at one point.
Yes,
I believe it was before Willy Wonka came out. I think
that one, I don't know.
I don't know. You got Google on hand? You got Google Mini? Are we gonna address Google Mini at all tonight?
Well, I mean, we can. Let's see how to ask that question.
I mean, we're not doing an 80s essential movie, but
yeah. I mean, how do we ask that question? Let's see. Hey, Google.
Who is the original artist?
Who is the original artist of Candyman?
The cast of Candyman includes Tony Todd, Virginia Madsen, that's not right. And 27 others.
The song.
Let me know if you want me to tell you more.
Hey, Google. Who sang the original version of the Candyman?
Sammy Davis. On the website YouTube.com, they say, Sammy Davis performs his big worldwide smash hit recording of The Candyman in this 1972 clip. The song was written by Leslie Bricusse and Anthony Newley and featured in the film Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory the previous year, 1971. To find out more, look for the link in your Google Home or Google Assistant app.
So, okay, so then Sammy wrote it.
No, it was not written by Sammy. That's not what she said.
That's what she said.
That's not what she said. She said it was written by somebody else, but performed by Sammy Davis in 1972.
Right.
But it was originally done by Gene Wilder, I guess. He sang it, right?
No, he didn't sing it. It was whoever was the owner of this candy store.
The candy store, that's right.
Right.
Boy, I'm all over the place. I apologize. I think the hour-long technical difficulties threw my brain into a funk. So pardon my funk.
So Aubrey Woods was the one that sang it in the movie.
Okay.
Who played Bill, the candy store owner, in the film. But anyway.
That was a good scene.
Yeah.
That was a good scene. It was a happy scene.
And that's probably why I liked it. You know, that's probably why I remember it and associate with it.
So let me tangent for a second.
Okay.
Did you have a candy store? In South Florida, where you grew up?
South Florida, no. But when I was in Central Florida, yes. There was one that was in our downtown Claremont area I would go to.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's one there. And I would frequent that every so often. It was because it was like, you know, just like anything that was happening back then, where you had the downtown areas that were kind of dying because of major developments like malls and Walmarts and major stores, you know, that, you know, things like that weren't sticking around forever, but, you know, there was this dude, and I would go in every so often, and that he had a candy store slash, natural foods, which is kind of an odd combo, but nonetheless, it worked for him. And I remember going in and talking to him very often and getting, like, I remember he had, like, flavored, like, you get at Cracker Barrel. I don't even know what you call them, but like flavored sticks, you know, like root beer or cream flavored or whatever. And I just remember enjoying those.
We had a local candy store by us in Huntington when I was growing up. And we used to go up there after school. And our thing was Jolly Ranchers.
Okay.
So it was like the Jolly Rancher sticks, not the little candy pieces, but the sticks. Do you remember the sticks?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was our thing. But we did have a local candy store.
Awesome.
So anyway, okay, so back off the tangent.
My wife
just poked her head out for a second there too, so I got a little distracted. Forgive me.
I gotcha. All right, so anyway. So now we've gotten to the chocolate factory.
Okay.
Was there a favorite part of the Chocolate Factory tour that you enjoyed more than others?
So we're just going to jump right into that. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
Of course we are.
No, because we gotta talk about the initial Chocolate Factory introduction, like when they first go into that room with all the different candies and you could eat the grass, you could eat everything, dude.
Yeah, is that your favorite part?
No, I don't know. Maybe. The tunnel's very memorable, but like before going through the tunnel on that boat, you know, that was your first abduction, I guess you would call it.
Abduction.
I don't know what else to call it. Like disappearance or
Yeah, I mean, we get right to the beginning part, and then we almost immediately lose Augustus.
Yes, we lose Augustus Klump.
Yeah.
Because he's drinking water, or the chocolate.
Drinking the chocolate, yeah.
Drinking the chocolate from the chocolate river, and he is contaminating the river. So Willy Wonka accidentally pushes him in.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That was like controversial a little bit at first, or things that I've heard not too long ago. That you know, like what kind of a jerk was Willy Wonka? He pushed him in the river, but he really didn't. It was an accident. So
yeah, he's trying to stop Augustus from contaminating his chocolate.
So anyway, Augustus falls in and he gets sucked through the tube. And do we ever find out where these people go?
You mean after they've been sucked in the tube or go down a chute?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, we never do, right?
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, he always talks about where he's like, I think that goes to the fudge room or something like that. But yeah, he never really confirms it.
Yeah. And then he hits some kind of like he has like a mobile phone device that he punches in some little code and sends it to the Oompa Loompas. Are we going to talk about the Oompa Loompas?
Of course we are. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I thought he, like, had a little flute. Like, he played
that's what it was. It was a flute.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It was a flute.
Right. So yeah. He played a little note, and then all of a sudden one of them was there, you know, and, you know, it was like magic. And then they would go – he would send them off to go find – you know, one of these kids that disappeared. In this case, Augustus was sucked into the tube. And I remember, you know, he's sitting there chewing candy or like, you know, bubblegum or something. And he says something like, you know, the suspense, I hope it'll last.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just watching all the pressure build up behind Augustus. And then, like, even Grandpa Joe's, like, talking to Charlie, and he's like, you know, you remember that time where you asked me about how a gun comes out of fires out of a gun or whatever?
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, it's like all this pressure, then all of a sudden, boop, he's gone. So, and it was like one of those things that was very kind of dramatic at the time, waiting for this build up, and then all of a sudden it was over, and then, yeah, he calls this Oompa Loompa, and he's like, all right, go find the boy. And take his mother, by the way.
Yes.
Very bizarre.
This movie is... It's so bizarre because it's fascinating and disturbing at the same time. Right?
Yeah, very much so.
It's this world of wonder that you're excited to see. You're excited to see this candy stuff because you're a kid. And at the same time, they take these dark twists where these kids just kind of disappear because of their personal flaws, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, their vices.
Like Augustus was a form of gluttony, right?
Yeah.
And we'll move on to the other things with the other people soon.
Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Doo, I've got a perfect puzzle for you. Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Dee, if you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get when you guzzle down sweets?
Eating as much as an elephant eats.
What are you at, getting terribly fat?
What do you think will come of that?
I don't like the look of it.
Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Da, if you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness too, like the Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Doo.
So now, let's move forward into the tunnel.
Okay.
Like I said just a minute ago, not even a minute ago, seconds ago, I said it was creepy, right?
Yes.
The tunnel scene is bizarre and creepy.
It is.
His deliverance, Gene Wilder's deliverance of the spoken word song, which this movie overall is a musical, right?
Yes.
If you think about it, you break it down, it's a musical because there's dialogue, and then there people will break into song and dance, and so it's technically a musical. Anyway, his deliverance of this spoken word song in the tunnel is just so bizarre and creepy. But you gotta love it. Did you happen to pull up the lyrics for that?
I don't, but I'm working on it.
Oh, I just had it a second ago. Oh, come on, really? It's gone.
There's no earthly way of knowing which direction they are going. There's no knowing where they are rowing. Or which way the river's flowing. Is it raining? Is it snowing? Is a hurricane a-blowing?
Ah! Not a speck of light is showing. So the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell a-glowing? Is a grizzly reaper mowing?
Wow.
Yes! The danger must be growing. Because the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any sign that they are slowing.
Yeah, that's it.
And his...
He does it a lot better than I do.
Yeah, he did do it a lot better than you.
Ouch. Wow. Okay. Last time I tried to do something for our listeners.
Come on. I sing all the time, and I'm sure listeners just, you know, laugh at me.
Yep.
But his deliverance of that was phenomenal and creepy and scary. And then it opens up into a, you know, kind of a happy, a new happy scene. It's so weird how this movie's done.
Well, they end up at the laboratory at that point.
Right, and that's when they discover Everlasting Gobstopper, and
right.
Charlie steals one to put in his pocket.
Essentially they all were.
Yes.
They all had that same thing by Slugsworth.
Slugsworth, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So they all had that same approach, and of course they all did the same thing. And your hope is that Charlie, of course, would be different. But, you know, they all asked for it and got it, put it in their pocket, of course, knowing what, you know, what they were going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
There was a line that I really loved from this scene. And it was, it's appropriate to us. Mm-hmm. And it where he says, candy is dandy, but liquor is quicker. So Violet she takes the gum, and even though Willy Wonka tells her, hey, you know, you shouldn't be chewing that, and then all of a sudden she turns into a blueberry.
Yeah, because it's not FDA approved yet.
No, it's definitely not. But it's like a, what is it, like a 3-course meal. So, yeah. And then she gets to the dessert, and it's a blueberry pie. Yeah, and it just makes her turn violet and start, you know, has a bunch of juice. And so much so that, you know, it gets to the point where the Oompa Loompas are able to roll her across the room several times and do a little song.
Yes. Are you going to drop any of those songs into the show?
Do you want me to do the Oompa Loompas after each one?
I think you should, because okay. I think it's worthy.
It's worthy. So you're saying we need to give some life lessons to our listeners?
Yes, because they're pretty strong words in those songs.
Okay, we might just do that.
These are really powerful songs, and I think they have a lot to say. And I wonder. If that was part of the purpose of this movie, was to teach kids about gluttony and being spoiled and being rotten. I don't know. There's a lot of lessons in these, in each individual child that gets, like we said earlier, what, abducted or.
Okay, so I'm following your message for Augustus, for Mike mm-hmm. TV, and mm-hmm. Veruca. But Violet was just... I'll give you the fact that she was kind of annoying, but she's just chewing gum. And that was all the Oompa Loompa's message was, you know, that, you know, you shouldn't be chewing like a cow. So, I mean, of all the messages to be delivering to us, is that really the strongest message or the strongest thing that you can be fighting against is gum chewing? So I'm just debating as to the merits of Violet's issues.
Maybe the writers of Wonka were just looking for a little bit of filler.
Okay.
I don't know.
Like, was there something more to her message that I missed?
I'd have to rewatch that scene.
Okay.
And I have not seen this movie in a long time.
Now,
although I would, if I saw it floating around on Netflix or Amazon or something like that, I would consider throwing it out there. I'm watching it for a little while.
Now, I understand. I remember back to the scene where she's like doing her interview after she finds her golden ticket. Mm-hmm. You know, she's talking about being the best. You know, like, I've been chewing this gum for so long, and my friend who previously had the record, you know, I beat her now. And so it was kind of like being the best. And I think that was kind of her vice. But the Oompa Loompa message was strictly about her chewing gum. And so I can see why she's a bad kid if she thinks she's all that and a slice of butter. But that's not what the Oompa Loompas were telling us.
Maybe she's just thinking a little bit too much of herself, but then, okay.
I'll go deep on Willy Wonka here.
This is really, this movie has got a lot more substance.
It's got some layers.
It definitely has layers.
Yeah.
And it really is, like, Chrissy's always said it creeps her out. She doesn't like the movie.
Why? Because Zoom Plumas?
No, I just think the whole feel of it.
Okay.
Gene Wilder. Which I could see why it would kind of be scary as a kid.
Gene Wilder has his creepy moments, and the Oompa Loompas are kind of scary to look at times. You know, they're glorified clowns. Right. Yeah, I could see that. I could see her vibe on that.
Yeah. By the way, PC update progress 22%.
22. Oh my god. Okay. So my opinion of the Violet thing, I think the Oompa Loompas should have been singing about how, you know, her vanity, about how she's better than other people versus the gum chewing. Just my opinion. I think that was a better message about Violet.
I think you're right. I mean, I think you're right that it was about vanity, and I would have to go back and listen to the Oompa Loompas about their, like, the lyrics that they used.
Okay.
I would see as vanity as one of the points that they're trying to make, and which is funny, you know. The first one was gluttony. Violet is vanity.
We are talking about the seven deadly sins right now. Yes,
mostly, but we only end up with four really,
right,
in this movie. But yeah, you're mostly talking about the seven deadly sins,
which, yeah,
is really bizarre and a great concept, though. It's but how is this a kid's movie?
Well, you have to throw content that is digestible for kids, and I think this movie pulls that off, where it's got a message behind it, but it's not. I mean, it's obvious that there's some message behind it, but at the same time, it's not. It doesn't feel like it's slapping you in the face with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I mean, this thing is just chock full of messages. You know, you go to the issues with Charlie Bucket and not giving up, and then all of a sudden he has this opportunity. That's the first part of the equation. But then, it evolves later on. But we're not there yet.
Oompa Loompa, Doompa Dee Doompa, I've got another puzzle for you. Oompa Loompa, Doompa Da Deepa, if you are wise, you'll listen to me. Gum chewing's time when it's once in a while. It stops you from smoking and brightens your smile. But it's repulsive, revolting, and wrong. Chewing and chewing all day long. The way that a cow does. Oompa Loompa, Doompa Dee Da. Given good manners, you will go far. You will live in happiness too. Like the Oompa Loompa, Doompa Dee Doo.
So, if where we are in the point of the movie is what we've gotten past Violet. Then they go into the, is that where they go to the part where they're licking the wallpaper?
Yeah, I've had several nights where I ended up licking wallpaper, but that's another story.
Okay. I'd love to hear those stories.
I'm totally kidding. There's never been a time the wallpaper. I was just saying, was just trying to be goofy.
No, I think I understand what you're saying, though. I've been there. Anyway.
So they went into the room and started licking the wallpaper, and each, like, if you saw an orange on the wallpaper, it looked, tastes like an orange when you lick it, right? What I want to know is how many people before them have ever licked that wallpaper.
I was always curious what a snozzberry was, but anyway.
Snozzberry.
Yeah. What's a snozzberry?
Ask Google.
Yeah. Hey, Google, what's a snozzberry?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that.
Yeah, I figured.
Yeah, because it doesn't exist.
No. And then what? So we've still got, at this point, we've got Veruca, we've got Mike, we've got Charlie. So they go to the fizzy lifting drinks.
Now, is this where they go to the fizzy lifting? When did they go to the room that shrunk?
That was before they even got started. That was before got to the open the room like where the chocolate river.
Yeah, okay. That was always one of my favorite scenes too.
Yeah.
So smaller and smaller, and then they open up, and that's when they open up the door, and it's the room.
Right. Yeah. Because he plays that little musical tune on the keyboard, and then it opens up, and then there's the everything you can eat, and then So Augustus is still with him at that point.
I'm backing up at that point. Sorry.
Okay.
It's been a long time.
Yep. So I'm trying to remember this, you know, the sequences as we go through it. So at this point they go from the wallpaper, they go to the fizzy lifting, Grandpa Joe and Charlie take a drink and they end up floating up. They discover they have to burp, then they can get back down. And then the next sequence is when they catch up to them and there's the golden gooses. Or the gooses that lay the golden eggs.
So one scene in the fizzy lifting thing, or one part of the fizzy lifting drink that always bothered me.
Yeah.
Was how fake the burping was.
Yes.
It was terribly fake.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, this is 1971, so...
Okay, but still, I could, when I was in third grade, I could make myself burp better than that, like on purpose, you know?
You could burp on command, is what you're saying.
Yes, I could. I could gulp air and burp. And just like, so, yeah, I had a couple friends that could do the same thing, and we'd have burping contests due to that.
Do it now.
No, I can't do it now.
Come on.
I don't think I can.
Okay. All right.
I don't know if I can. I haven't tried, and dude, it's probably been 30 years since I've done something like that. Maybe, wait, let's see, I'm 51. No, it's been longer. It's been more like 40 years. I think I was probably 10 or 11 years old when I did that last.
All right. So
I don't remember how to.
So don't kill yourself. Let's not do that. Okay.
I could get my buddy Joe on the phone. He could probably do it.
Well, what's Joe's number? Let's add him. No, just kidding. So fizzy lifting, we get past that. Like I said, then we're at the geese. They're laying the big geese. They're laying the golden eggs. Veruca goes into her tangent about wanting a golden goose, and she wants it now.
I want a goose that lays the golden egg, Daddy.
Yes.
And Veruca Salt, which was eventually became a band.
Yeah.
Which I don't know anything by them, but I think it's hilarious that they called their band Veruca Salt after the character of Willy Wonka. Side note. So anyway, go on. She wanted a golden egg.
She wanted a golden egg. She wanted a golden goose, actually.
Oh, laid the golden egg, but she was a rotten egg.
Yes. So she goes on, she sings a song, of course, about wanting it now. And Willy Wonka is just kind of very nonchalant about the whole thing. He's just kind of standing there as she pretty much tears up the whole room.
He rolls his eyes a lot.
He does. He's just kind of like, whatever, here we go again. And You would think it was something like he dealt with like every day, but I mean, he had been a recluse. He hadn't had anybody in the factory for years.
I don't think ever.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden he's got these kids in. It was just kind of like, you know, when they're acting like, you know, assholes, he's just like, all right, here we go again. Whatever.
Interesting point.
Yeah. You would figure he would have been like kind of like, you know, a little more argumentative at that point. But I understand that, you know, that was Veruca's moment. She was going through. She, you know, she went through that whole long song about I want it now. And then she ended up standing on the top of the chute where they had the egg decator. Ooh, I can't believe I remember that. An egg decator. And it judged her as a bad egg. And then it falls down the chute. And then all of a sudden, Mr. Salt, he's like, well, you know, where did she go? And he goes, well, you know, down to the garbage chute. And then all of a sudden, he jumps after her.
Yes.
Right. And then Willy Wonka says something to the fact of, there's going to be a lot of garbage this week.
So dark.
Yeah.
So dark.
And I can't remember. It's funny that I remember this much detail about it.
You really do. I'm impressed.
Thank you. I'm trying to remember, when's the last time I saw this? Wow. It's probably been at least a year.
Oh wow. I've got you like 30 times over.
Okay. Cuz I remember I was trying to introduce my kids to it.
Yes. Now right. See, Chrissy and I have never had kids, so I didn't have that. I wouldn't have introduced them, you know. I mean, I would have if I had kids, but
right.
Yeah. I didn't have that opportunity over the years to introduce them to this. So yeah, it's although I would have, because it's got a lot of good points in it.
It does.
As bizarre as it is, it's got a lot of good points to it.
Yeah, and so sticking with the sequence of the movie, we're into the part where the Oompa Loompas come out and they start singing about her being a brat. That, I think, is a very apropos message for that, you know, for the movie, where you've got that kid that is just a bratty kid and I want it now and just, I don't know, horrible to everybody around them. And so I get that message. I completely support, you know, them whipping that message out to the, you know, the movie watching public. And I'm glad they did.
Yeah.
Because I've been around other kids, you know, in my kids' circle of friends that are kind of like that. And I'm like, how did that happen? And, you know, and it was kind of like the, you know, like the song says, and, you know, if we edit that in here, you know, it's really the mother and the father, you know, unfortunately. I hate to say it, but, you know, you've got to take some sort of responsibility for the way you bring your kid up. And I don't want to get into too much of a tirade where we're like, you know, saying, you know, Banzai Retro Club is saying you got to raise your kids a certain way. But if your kid is acting that way,
let's just go that direction.
If your kids are acting that way, then yes, you are responsible for that. I'm sorry to say. Because if my kids ever acted that way, I would not at all allow that. And my wife wouldn't at all allow that.
Now, I may not have a lot of clout, I guess you would say, as a parent, because I don't have any kids.
Right.
But, yeah, if your kids are acting that way, it's the parents' fault.
Yeah. I hate to be the one to be so blunt about it, but that's the truth.
That's the plain truth.
yeah, hopefully we didn't lose any listeners on that one.
I don't care.
All right. Well, then that, I guess we're going to lose listeners of Bad Parents. Got it. Oh, did I say Bad Parents? I didn't mean that. Ouch. Yeah.
Hey, suck it up, Buttercup. Really? Face reality. If you can't parent your kids correctly and keep them, you know, from being the way that these kids are behaving on this movie, then you need to reevaluate your parenting skills.
Wow.
Ooh.
Leave it to our version of Willy Wonka to like start like administering our own brand of justice on Bonsai Retro Club.
Sorry, that just slipped out. I didn't mean that.
No, you're not saying anything I don't agree with, but nonetheless.
100%.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, so where are we at? They fall down the chute. They sing the song.
Oompa Loompa Doompa-dee-doo. I've got another puzzle for you. Oompa Loompa Doompa-dee-dee. If you are wise, you'll listen to me. Who do you blame when your kid is a brat, pampered and spoiled like a Siamese cat? Blaming the kids is a lie and a shame. You know exactly who's to blame. The mother and the father. Oompa, oompa, doompa-dee-da. If you're not spoiled, then you will go far. You will live in happiness too. Like the Oompa Loompa Loompa-dee-doo.
I don't know. They get to the, at this point we just have Mike TV and we still have Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get into the, that vehicle that they fill with all the soda pop. And so they all like starts bubbling over and they, you know,
shooting all kinds of pot whipped cream stuff at their faces. And,
Right. So they got all that going on. And then all of a sudden they go through this thing that cleans them. So they're back to their normal selves. And then they enter the room that has the TV. And then they have the big chocolate bar that they send into the sky into 1,000 different pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Or millions of pieces, whatever it was. And then all of a sudden it shows up. And then Charlie's able to grab it from the TV and actually eat it. And then Mike TV has a grand idea. Hey, you know what? If you can do that with a chocolate bar, can you do that with people? And then Willy Wonka hesitates for a few minutes or a few moments and says, it could be kind of messy. And next thing you know, Mike TV does it. So that's where we're at with that part. And then he goes through and then all of a sudden he's shrunk into a very tiny little person. And Willy ends up taking him, putting him in his mother's purse, and, you know, ask the Oompa Loompas to take him away. Right. Wow, I'm getting all these details. This is amazing.
I'm, dude, seriously. I'm not remembering the details until you bring them up, but I do remember them putting him into his purse. They like have him by the scruff of the neck with the collar of his shirt or something and drop. And she closes her little, it's a small purse and it's got that little clasp of the kind of, I can see the clasp. And then the Oompa Loompas take her away so that they can resize him or whatever.
Right.
Which I'm not sure of the point of the taking a giant candy bar and making it smaller.
I don't remember what his point was other than just to be able to send chocolate, you know, through the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what he was trying to accomplish, but I don't know why it would be, you know, I've got this, you know,
whatever it was, you know, a huge 500,000-pound chocolate bar, and then all of a sudden became regular-sized chocolate bar. Like, why that would be significant to be able to send over. But,
right.
You know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, he's Willy Wonka, so you figure he's going to be doing, you know, some weird, wacky shit, and that just was business as usual for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I get the message, though. I get the message about, you know, watching TV too much, because that's how I was raised. I think I was raised by the TV a lot.
Yeah, you know, it's a kind of a precursor to the whole latchkey kid thing, right?
Yeah.
It was a premonition almost, like a or prophetic statement of what was going to happen with a lot of kids. And I think I kind of ended up in that situation too, where, and I don't think it's any intention of my parents, but we ended up watching a lot of TV when they were at work or doing whatever. I'd get home from school and I would, especially in high school, I would just get home from school and put MTV on and watch that for hours on end. So anyway.
But now, according to the movie, that was a bad thing.
Right.
So I don't know. I mean, I was that same way. I was a latchkey kid. I watched a lot, probably too much TV. But did I turn out worse because of it?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's me kind of asking the general public. We don't need to have an answer to that right now. But I'm just kind of wondering, obviously, the message that's trying to be conveyed is that we should be outside, you know, and doing physical stuff and kind of being involved in the world around us versus just watching whatever's being shown to us over the TV. So I get that that's a message, but yeah, I don't know if, I mean, because I was raised that way, does that make me a bad person?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I was raised that way too, but if you think about it, you know, we wouldn't have as much to talk about on our podcast that we do now if we hadn't been exposed to that much media when we were younger.
Okay. So we're saying that Mike TV is okay then.
Sure.
All right. We'll take that. All right.
Oompa, loompa, doompa-dee-doo. I've got another puzzle for you. Oompa, loompa, doompa-da-dee. If you are wise, you'll listen to me.
What do you get from a glut of TV?
A pain in the neck and an IQ of 3.
Why don't you try simply reading a book?
Or could you just not bear to look?
You'll get no commercials.
Oompa, loompa, doompa-dee-da. If you're not greedy, you will go far. You will live in happiness too. Like the Oompa, Oompa, Loompa, Oompa-dee-doo.
All right, so where are we at? Let's see. Then Oompa Loompa sing about the perils of watching too much TV, and that's actually the end of the tour. At that point, we get to where Willy Wonka is saying goodbye to Charlie and Grandpa Joe, and he goes into his office, and he's like, well, you know, I had this whole day. It's wasted now. And then he goes in and starts doing, like, paperwork, and then Grandpa Joe and Charlie are just kind of looking at each other going, okay, what do we do now? What about the lifetime of chocolate? What do we do? And they just kind of, like, kind of not knowing what happened. Like, what's the deal?
They go into the office and confront Willy Wonka. Willy Wonka yells at them for the fizzy lifting drink and damaging, you know, touching the walls that all have to be cleaned. And then he yells at them and says, you know, because of that, you're not getting anything. It's right there in the contract you signed at the beginning of the whole tour. And, you know, good day. Go ahead and just leave.
I say good day.
Yes. And so, and then Grandpa Joe's like, he tells Charlie, you know, look, you know, this is what it is. Slugworth wants his gobstopper. Let's go give Slugworth the gobstopper. Charlie looks back at Willy Wonka and says, you know what? I don't think so. He gives him the gobstopper back. And then we have that moment where Willy Wonka says, it's all a ruse. This was a test.
Yeah, and here's Slugworth and blah, blah, blah. And
right.
And now you get everything. Let's go float away in a magic elevator.
The great glass Wonka-vator.
Yes, that's it.
Yep. Wow, all these details that I just remembered right off the top of my head. It's crazy. It's awesome. And then
I feel like you just watched this yesterday.
I didn't. It's crazy.
And here's the thing, you know, you've been doing the essential movies of the 80s for a little while now, and I've jumped in on a few of them.
Yeah.
And your thing is to never reference anything, like never reference Google, or no, I'm sorry. You reference Google for the synopsis and what the movie was originally done, but you try to do the movie itself by memory.
Right.
And that's what I had to do this time. And I'm finding that I kind of don't remember as much as I thought I did.
Yeah,
and you're remembering every little detail, and it's awesome.
Yeah. Like I said, I tried to introduce the kids to it. I don't think it was impactful as it was to me. Mm-hmm. It's a shame, but at the same time, you know, I mean, this was 70s. So I get why it, you know, it grabbed hold of me, and maybe in this current, you know, with the technology that's out now and the way movies look and how slick they are and well done with CGI and all that, this doesn't look like those. But it's got such a great story. And if you can, if you're a person that can embrace the story, you can embrace the great acting that's being done by, you know, everybody that's involved, from Charlie Bucket, to Gene Wilder, you know, being Willy Wonka. You know, if you can get into that and really just immerse yourself into this world, I think it's a great ride. And I just wish that it had the same look and appeal of, you know, the current movies like The Avengers. But, you know, there's no way that a movie like this would have been done back in the 1970s with a, you know, that kind of budget.
Yeah. It's hard to compare. I mean,
yeah,
like Tim Burton's version of it, I think I watched 20 or 25 minutes of it. I just could not do it. It was just nowhere. It wasn't. I think I was almost offended that they had done that to a movie that I remember from my childhood so fondly. And it just seems so off and just did not have the right feel to it at all. So yeah, this is a great movie. I'm glad that you brought it up as far as something to talk about that's outside our usual realm of the like the essential movies of the 80s. We have not touched on the essential movies of the 70s. This would probably fall into that category.
I would think it would, and believe it or not, Rotten Tomatoes actually does have a 1970s essentials movie list,
But I started to peruse that list, and there's so much that I have no idea what the movie is or recollection of it. So I'm like, there's no way I can tackle that.
Yeah.
So I mean, at least, at least from the 1980s essential movie list, I can say I've heard of that movie, and here's why I never watched it. Versus 1970s, I would be like, ah, I have no clue, and that would be the whole show.
You know what? So I'm gonna jump back to your baby boom episode.
Oh, fantastic.
I really wish I was thinking, like, as you were talking about it, you're like, you guys should just skip to the next episode. You're like really laying into yourself. I'm like, oh, if he just goes on this, you kept going on about your day, like what you're doing, and you were just kind of like, you were doing your laundry and stuff. And I was in the back of my mind, I'm going, oh, I hope he just goes, oh, by the way, this is number one, so 105 on the list, and it's Baby Boom, and thank you for listening. Just let it go from there, not even go into it.
Oh, I should have. I very well, I could have easily have done that.
Actually, that movie is not, it's pretty, it's actually kind of a fun movie. There's a scene where Diane Keaton breaks down that she does in a lot of her movies, but she does it so well. She breaks down into this kind of crazy rant, and it's really funny to watch her do that. So anyway.
Actually, there was a fun Diane Keaton movie that it had Meg Ryan and Lisa Kudrow in it. It's called Hanging Up. And I really enjoyed Diane Keaton in that one. And you're right. She kind of has these moments where she goes into these rants, but she does it so well. And not knowing anything about Baby Boom, I didn't know if that had the same kind of formula. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know anybody that's like, oh, I watch that every time I see it's on. I've never heard that about that movie.
Yeah, you know, I would not recommend taking time out of your life at this point in your life to watch Baby Boom.
See, there
It's
you
not,
go.
I don't see, I don't see it as an essential, but I haven't seen the rest of the list yet either. So there's actually been a couple of other titles on your that we've done so far that I don't know if they're truly essential. You know, I have to get further down the list to see what they're really qualifying as essentials. I mean, 120, 115, whatever, wherever, some of these other ones fell. Oh, like the what, Crush Groove?
Crush Groove. Yeah, that was like one of the first ones.
I'm sorry. Really? It made the 140? Come on.
Actually, I think 140 was St. Elmo's Fire. But I mean, Crush Groove was like 139 or 138, one of those.
Yeah, there's other many other movies that I would say fall into the essential category before those would. Now, I don't know, like I said, I haven't looked at the rest of the list, so I don't know where a movie like Cobra with Stallone or They Live with Rowdy Roddy. All, I don't know where that falls, if it falls at all in the top 140. I would hope so. If you put Crush Groove in there, we are way off topic, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I completely, I get it. I get that we're completely tangenting, but I mean, we're doing the essential movies thing, and I don't know, it's fun to get feedback on those. Then you started with Baby Boom, so I'm like, I was wondering what you're curious, what you thought about that. And you're right, I did spend way too much time talking about like my day versus the actual movie. But going back to Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, I mean, I think we both agree we really love this movie. And it wasn't because it was just a, you know, fun kid movie. This actually had some message behind it, but you had a great character actor in Willy Wonka, Gene Wilder. And he made it. He really, like I said, my favorite, you know, everything that I liked was from the moment that they got to the chocolate factory. We didn't talk about everything before the chocolate factory, and that's by design for me because I didn't enjoy it. So I needed, you know, Gene Wilder. And even though, you know, believe it or not, there's actually some sequences that Gene Wilder is filmed where it's just the back of his head and it's not actually Gene.
Really?
Yeah.
With that crazy hair?
Yeah, that he wasn't, you know, there for that day, but they still went forward with the sequence. I want to say that I'm trying to remember where I heard this, but the like when the scene where there are in the where you can eat everything, the opening sequence when they first get to the chocolate factory, and all the kids are running around and eating a bunch of candy and a bunch of flowers and, you know, trying to break into the balls or whatever. There's this one sequence where you see Willy Wonka walking by and he just hits the cane and all of a sudden like a bunch of gumballs or something like that drop down into the sidewalk. That's not actually Gene Wilder. That was a double, you know, from the backside. So it's like,
I could see that.
So he had kind of like other things that he was doing at the time. And so, you know, it was kind of like, it'd be interesting to find out, was this a movie that really he was that devoted into, you know, that he's spending, you know, he's like, I'm going to put all my energy into this. Or was it kind of like a, I'll do it when I have time.
Right.
Because to me, he was so iconic, and he made the movie.
Yeah, you know, this was really one of the early movies, too.
Right.
Yeah, this really was. He, without him, it would not have been the same. I think Gene Wilder was an amazing addition to it. Yeah, it's interesting that he didn't play all the shots, though. Especially with that, like I said, the crazy hair, dude.
He did have some crazy hair.
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else about Willy Wonka you want to throw out there?
No, I don't think so. That I can think of right now. I did like the use of like Technicolor or whatever it was back in the day. The colors were very cool in the whole movie.
Yeah.
So that's about it.
Okay. All right. So this is the part we're going to remind everybody to go to our website. That's BanzaiRetroClub.com, BANZAI, RetroClub.com. And, you know, click the links to follow us on our social media endeavors, that being, you know, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, yada, 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 Instagram. So please do that. If you have one of those fancy-dancy devices, be it iPhone, iPad, iPhone, go ahead and give us a rating, review, and subscribe. On Podbean app, you can actually do a follow, and as Scott recently had, you know, informed me that you can make comments, so we'd really like to hear that from you. So with all that in mind, we'd like to remind everybody to be excellent to each other. This is actually really very potent advice given the news lately. And, have a good whatever. Bye.
Have a good one.
This has been a Bonsai Retro Club production.
Banzai Daniel-san!
Hey, Banzai!
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 Hold your breath. Make a wish. Count to three.
Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination. We'll begin with a spin. Traveling in the world of my creation, what we'll see will defy explanation. If you want to view paradise, simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it, want to change the world, there's nothing to it.
Hurry up, Pilot!
This way, Grandpa!
There's no life I know to compare with pure imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly wish to be. Simply look around and view it. Anything you want to do it. Want to change the world. There's nothing to it. There is no life I know. Compare with your imagination. Living there, you'll be free if you truly.